Blog Talk Radio.
I can't stop missing you. When shall I stay with you? I can't stop missing you. No, 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 no.
Kiss, miss the way you wear them heels and make it switch, miss the way your hair blows in the wind, and I miss you staying here till the morning, miss the way you put on your makeup, miss the way you love me too much, it's everything about you, baby, wanna know where you've been lately, do you go out, do you still live at your old house, do you got somebody new in your life, cause I can't get you out of my mind, and I wanna erase. But I can't stop seeing your face. And every girl I try to replace you with. Why can't I get over it? Simply cause I can't.
I can't stop missing you.
Can't stop.
Wish I was there with you.
Can't you.
I can't stop missing you.
No. Everything you say, missing all the crazy love we made. Why'd you throw it all away? I want you to know it's been hell trying to do this without you here. Baby, 07's supposed to be our year. You confront my worst fear, and I had my doubts every time you was going out, cause I knew you were telling me lies, and I can't get that out of my mind, and I wanna erase. But I can't stop seeing your face. And every girl I try to replace you with. Why can't I get over it? Simply cause I can't.
I can't stop missing you.
Can't stop.
Wish I was there with you.
With you.
I can't stop missing you.
No. Up and forget about you. To call you when I know I want to. I gotta fight this feeling. Can't let it take over me. You just don't understand how much you were a part of me.
I can't stop missing you. Wish I was there with you.
It's you.
I can't stop missing you. No, 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 no,
no, no.
Welcome back to another episode of Tez Talks Taxes. I'm so excited to be here to give you guys more tax information and tax tips and answer all of your questions. Again, thank you for tuning in. And I want to first tell you what tonight's topics are going to be. So first, I'm going to talk about if you're prepared for a disaster. A lot of people find themselves in a situation where they're not properly prepared, and we're going to, you know, talk about this to help you get out of these bad situations. The second topic is on tax benefits for disabled taxpayers. And the third topic is on taxation of legal settlements or awards. For all those lucky people out there who may get some type of money in for a settlement or some type of award, we're going to talk about those tax implications that you may or may not have. I would like to mention our sponsors, Productions. Now, I want you guys to use ME Productions for all of your digital needs. You can find them on Facebook at ME Productions, and that's with a Z. If you shoot them an email, you can use the email address heyme.tv@gmail. I will put their email address in the comment section of this show, so that way if you're looking for it, you can find it. Our next sponsor is iCraveWear. Please check out their Facts hoodies and tees. Also pick up your Time Heals All Wounds dad hats. And their website is iCraveWear.com. If you use the code PREGAME at checkout, you'll get 15% off of your purchase. And our third sponsor is LitBK. Please go and check out their Star Power Tees and other pieces that are inspired by Brooklyn, New York, and pop culture. If you use the code PREGAMEISLIT on their website, you'll get 20% off of your purchase. And their website is LitBKNY. So I'm going to get right into which is on if you are prepared for a disaster. Now, again, as I mentioned, I'm bringing up this topic because every year when there's a disaster, we find that there's a tremendous amount of people who are not prepared. Okay. Now, it does take a lot of effort for something like this, especially if you may never be affected by it. But if you are, at least you'll be ready. So here are some tips that will help you survive this potential nightmare. The first tip is going to be for business owners. So if you're a business owner, you should have a plan in place to help you minimize the impact that this disaster can have on you. And also, you should have a plan to protect your assets. So there are many threats which are natural and unnatural, such as a fire, a computer failure, illness, or the loss of key staff. And this can all make it difficult or even impossible to continue your day-to-day operations. You got to remember that if you have people who are working for you, they also may have family. And if that's their situation, they may not be able to make it into work or may not be able to do certain things for you due to these disasters. So you always got to keep that stuff in mind because these are the things that could prevent you from having or being able to continue on with your day-to-day operations. So the first thing is that you should try to identify the potential disasters that may affect you and your business, such as are you in an area that's prone to floods? Are you in an area that, you know, could be endangered by a wildfire? You know, you want to make sure that you understand where you are and what potential risks there are around you. You also want to build a business continuity plan and identify several things. And this plan will actually have an action plan in it. It will have your safety concerns. It will have applicable computer backup information in it and also an alternative operational headquarters. Say if you operate out of a warehouse, maybe you need to have a second warehouse or some optional area to go in a situation like this. It basically provides a roadmap for you to get back to your normal activities. And within this plan, you should also highlight all your contact information for your insurance companies and for your emergency relief options. Now, they don't have the right insurance coverage. So now is the time for you to actually go and check your policy, see if you need to add something on or maybe increase your coverage if it's even available for you. But you should definitely contact your carrier to find out if those things are an option and what you should do. Make sure that you're asking yourself certain questions such as how will you escape, where will you meet up, and how will you communicate. All of this stuff should be mapped out in your plan. And, you know, I'm sure you guys have heard this a million and one times, but you should practice an escape route, you know, from your building. And you should familiarize yourself with the local authorities and even with the emergency radio stations. Now, I don't want you guys to just stop there. You also got to think about what will happen if you survive the disaster, but your biggest supplier doesn't. You know, I mean, you may have a vendor who gives you 95% of the things that you need, and they may be wiped out because of this disaster. So what will you do? You should definitely develop a list of backup vendors and build those relationships ahead of time so that if something were to happen, you have other options and routes to take. You also want to make sure, of course, the general stuff that everybody should already know. You need to have plenty of water, batteries, first aid kits, and even food in case emergency services are delayed. You might be stuck in your office for an extended period of time. You'll need to have these things available for your survival. Now, different types of businesses will have different needs or, things for their computer system. So you want to make sure that you have all of your documents backed up. You can use, like, online technology to do this. It's pretty easy. Sometimes there are certain companies that will charge you a monthly fee if you were to use their backup system. But at least you'll be able to access your information from any computer in any location. If you're not a fan of online technology when it comes to backing up your information, you can use things like a thumb drive or, you know, an external backup system where, you know, you have that information protected and it may be off-site somewhere else, or it may be in a fireproof safe or something like that, so that if a disaster did happen and your equipment was damaged, you still have this other equipment that has all the backup information on it that's safe and secure. All right. So that's pretty much all my tips for businesses who may face a disaster. Of course, there are options available to you if you were to have a loss of equipment or supplies that you never were reimbursed for by your insurance company. And you would put that loss onto your tax return. You can, you know, definitely reach out to me if you have any questions on how to do that, or just reach out to your accountant. But don't forget that, you know, those items that you do not receive reimbursement for from your insurance company can be a tax deduction for you. So, you know, it's very important to keep your receipts, because you will have to prove that you purchased the item in the first place. You'll have to prove the value of the item. So this is why, going back to, and I'll actually cover that in a little bit, but, you know, those records are important. Now, I do want to give a few tips for people who have a family, or if you just live at home by yourself. Just like the business segment of this where I gave all those tips, you know, families need to have the same type of emergency plan in place. Say, for example, you're in different locations. Your kids are at school, you're at work, grandma's at home or something like that, and the disaster strikes. You need to know where to meet up if you're separated, or to have an evacuation route if you guys are in your home and trying to get out. Again, these routes should be pre-planned, and you need to also make sure that you avoid meeting up in areas that could be dangerous or prone to flooding. Find something that would be high ground or a safe zone and say, okay, if we get separated, let's meet here. A good rule of thumb is to never let the fuel in your car go below half full. For those of you who have an electric car, it's good to not let it go half charged, because, of course, you may lose power. Gas stations may not have fuel, or even there's gas stations that even get damaged. And you definitely don't want to be out there stranded because you failed to put enough or keep enough gas in your car. Again, I think everybody knows this, but it's a good idea to keep cash on hand in case there's no power and you can't purchase things with your credit card. And don't forget to check your insurance and make sure that your home is protected and your items are protected. Also, make sure you have those essential things like batteries, flashlights, water, and other medications and a first aid kit. And don't forget about your pets. It's funny because sometimes people aren't, you know, when they're thinking about these things, they're not thinking about the things that their animals may need. But you want to also, you know, remember that stuff too. I had to put that out there because I hear so many stories about, you know, animals that have been neglected due to disasters because people didn't plan ahead. Anyway, back onto this, I want to also let you know that there are deductions for people who suffer from disasters and do not get reimbursed. There are tax deductions available. It's not the same as the business side. It's actually a lot less, but it's still available. and you still need to keep your receipts to prove that you've had these items. This is why, like, having a safe backup system or just a plan in place will help you out, because you can end up out of a lot of money by not doing these things ahead of time. So the other part I wanted to mention were records, even though I did touch on it for the most part. I told you guys about saving onto, you know, a cloud, which is for storage. You could pretty much access that from anywhere. But if you're not a fan of the cloud, you could definitely use a, you know, a backup or an external hard drive to save your material, or even a thumb drive. Now, a lot of people will depend on a financial institution to keep their bank records. And at the end of the year, they'll go and they'll print their bank statements out. But you want to make sure that you do save your statements and not depend on this financial institution. Because even though they have a very sophisticated system, and something going wrong is highly unlikely, so we would expect, things still go wrong. There's nothing that's 100% foolproof. So you should keep your own records on your system and not rely on another institution to have that stuff available on the website. You know, I just want to throw this in there because it's just something to always consider. Family photos. Now, a lot of times people are posting photos on social media, and we know it's saved on there. But, you know, there are a lot of older photos that are like Polaroids or, you know, printed out pictures that you don't want to lose. So you could consider maybe scanning them into the computer or, you know, taking them to a professional, see if they could be turned into some type of digital image. Okay. So, let's see here. I talked about the tax aspects of people, you know, who have the family side and the business side, and we covered the records. I think the last thing I would like to speak on this would be about scams. You know, when a disaster strikes, you know, I have a few clients that have been scammed, unfortunately. They came to me with you know, information about something that had happened before I even knew them. And, you know, I'm putting this information out there for people to, well, not their information. I'm not putting their information out there. I'm just putting this information about how to prevent from being scammed so that fewer people fall victim to this. Now, whenever there is a disaster, scammers just show up. You know, and they're looking for individuals who are willing to donate their money for charitable organizations. And sometimes scammers show up and they say, you know what, if you pay me X amount of dollars, I'll fix your house or I'll fix your property. And that's all a lie, too. So you want to watch out from both aspects. But this time I'm actually going to speak about scammers who claim to represent a charitable organization. They have the intent to pocket your donations for themselves. So please beware of this. If you receive a phone call or an email or even get some type of flyer in your regular mailbox, or you get an appeal on social media, you know, from people asking for a donation, you should definitely look into it first. Because a lot of these things can come from people who, again, would like to scam you out of your money. So I have a few tips that I just want to share with you. First, you want to donate only to charities that you know and trust. Not all charities are trustworthy, but you may be able to find a few out there that you can build your trust in. All right? Be suspicious of charities that have sprung up overnight in connection with a current event. Because they're the ones that you know, may become a victim of their scam. So not saying that there aren't charities that just, you know, spring up out of nowhere, but you want to do your research before you give money out. The other thing is to ask questions. You know, if you feel like you're not getting clear answers, or if you don't like the answers you're getting, then consider not donating to that particular charity and finding another one. Don't give out any of your personal or financial information, such as your credit card or bank account number, unless you know exactly who the charity is, and you can even look and see if this charity has a reputation. You should never send cash, and never wire money, because wiring money is pretty much the same as sending cash. Once you send it, you will not get it back. All right. And you can also check out charities by using, there's a system called a Charity Navigator. It's basically like a charity watchdog, and it gives you like their information on their reputation. There's also something called Charity Watch, and that's WATCH, which will give you more information on their reputations. Now, when it comes to planning for your disasters, I do have two websites that I would like to tell you guys about. It's called the Disaster Assistance. I'm sorry, let me start over. This website is disasterassistance.gov. I'll put that in the comment section. And the second website is ready.gov. If you go on to those, they'll give you an explanation of how to create an action plan or some type of plan to just protect yourself. And again, if you send a message to me on Instagram, then I can explain to you what the tax deductions for this would be and how they would work for you. When it comes to getting some type of government assistance with a disaster, you can check out the SBA, and that's actually www.sba.gov. Provide low-interest loans to businesses and homeowners who are victims of a disaster. They even provide it to renters. So check them out and see if you may qualify when you need to replace or repair something that's damaged or destroyed. And, of course, everybody, I'm pretty sure, has heard of FEMA. Again, it's a disaster assistance. It's disaster assistance, that is provided in the form of money or direct assistance to individuals, as well as families and businesses that are in the area and have been, you know, their things have been either damaged or destroyed. It's also crucial to know that if you're insured and you've been reimbursed by these things, then a lot of these sources will not be available to you, obviously because you may not need them. But just keep all this stuff in mind in case one day you do. So I'm going to take a break for one song, and I'll be back in approximately 4 minutes or so. And when I come back, I'm going to talk about the tax benefits.
Soon as we get started making love, going hard, I hear a knock, knock, knocking on the wall. And as soon as I go deep, getting it in, then again, there's a knock, knock, knocking on the wall.
I'm back.
Hello and welcome back. Thank you again for listening in to Tess Talks Taxes. If any of you need to reach out to me to ask questions, you can find me on Instagram. My IG name is Tax Expert. Don't be afraid to reach out and send a message if you need to. I don't bite. I answer messages and reply back, of course. I don't know if I told you guys a little bit about myself in the beginning, so I'm just going to mention it now. I am a tax expert. I have about 2 decades of experience. That includes governmental and corporate accounting, business and individual taxation, as well as teaching and writing on tax and financial issues and handling IRS audits. Basically, the reason why I'm here is to take this information and break it down and give it right back to you guys so that you're able to understand it and apply it to certain situations in your life, or if you know someone that may be going through it or having questions, you are now more informed about it and you can maybe help someone else out. So the next topic I have here is on disabled taxpayers. I'm going to talk about the tax benefits that are available to them, and there's actually quite a few. So the first benefit is the increased standard deduction. I'm sure a lot of you have heard about, you know, tax reform, and that's basically the new tax law, and it substantially increased the standard deduction by a lot of money. But what the tax reform law also did was it retained the standard deduction for add-ons, all right? So for people who are legally blind, if you are on someone's tax return, or if you are filing joint with and your spouse is legally blind, you will be able to add on an additional $1,300 to your standard deduction. And if it's you and your spouse, you'll be able to add on $2,600. There's other filing statuses where the amount would actually be an additional $1,600, which is a great benefit to have. Now, another thing is, while being age 65 and older isn't a disability, I do want you guys to note that there is an add-on for being elderly, and it's anywhere from $1,300 to $1,600, depending on your filing status. Okay, so that's the first one. Now, there are exclusions from gross income. An exclusion basically means, you know, a dollar amount that you do not have to pay tax on. So there are certain disability-related payments that are excluded from your gross income. Those are payments from the Veterans Administration when they pay your disability benefits, and also supplemental security income. Those two things are excluded. Now, amounts received for Social Security disability are treated the same as regular Social Security benefits, which means that up to 85% of the benefits could be taxable depending on the recipient's other income. So you do want to watch out for that. If the recipient is making money by working or some other type of means of earning income, then the Social Security disability payment could become taxable. Now, there's also something for impairment-related work expenses. So individuals who have a physical or mental disability may be able to deduct the impairment-related expenses paid to, that will allow them to work. Now, although for the tax reform, which is the new law, although it eliminated most of the miscellaneous deductions that people have been reporting on Schedule A for their employee expenses, it actually retained the deduction for employees who have a physical or mental disability limiting their employment. So as a result, they can still deduct the expenses that are necessary for them to work. For people who are self-employed, these expenses are actually going to go either on the Schedule C or on the Schedule F rather than the Schedule A. An example of this type of expense would be for someone who is blind that is paying somebody to read work-related documents to them. Okay, so you got to keep in mind that these impairment-related work expenses must be ordinary and necessary in the business for the person who is receiving this care. All right, and it also must be something that enables this person to be able to work. For people who are disabled, you, if you have a dependent, you may be able to actually take the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's also known as EITC. You may be able to take this credit. And there are many individuals who are working with a disability and they have no qualifying children, but they're older than the age of 24 and they're younger than the age of 65. Well, they may also be eligible for this Earned Income Tax Credit. There's another credit called the Child Care Independent. It's called the Child Care Independent Care Credit, and this is for taxpayers who pay someone to come to their home and care for their dependent or their disabled spouse, or somebody that is able to be on their tax return. Okay, so this credit is usually only up for when someone reaches the age 13, but that age limit is wiped away. The person is unable to care for themselves. All right, okay. So now the next thing is going to be in regards to people with learning disabilities. Say, for example, you're paying tuition to a special school for a child that has a severe learning disability, which may be caused by a mental or physical impairment or even some type of impairment with their nervous system. This can be included as medical expenses that are eligible for the medical deduction when people are itemizing on their tax return. You need to know these two rules. First, the doctor must recommend that the child attends the school. And second, the fees for this tutoring that is recommended by the doctor must be given by a teacher who is specially trained and qualified to work with children who have severe learning disabilities. There's a credit for people who have drug addictions. All right. So amounts paid by that particular person to maintain, it would actually be the taxpayer. So say, for example, if you have a dependent on your tax return and they are going through a therapeutic center in order to get off of, then the cost of that dependent's meals and lodging may be included as a medical expense on your itemized tax return. Now, there's also an account. I think I mentioned this last week. It's called an ABLE account. And there's a few rules for this, but I find this actually very interesting. It's ABLE as in A-B-L-E. So a qualified ABLE program actually provides a means for individuals and families to contribute and save for the purpose of supporting an individual with a disability and maintaining their health independence and their quality of life. All right. So the federal law allows states to establish and to operate this ABLE program. And under these programs, an ABLE account may be set up for an eligible state resident. An eligible state resident is someone who became severely disabled before turning the age 26. And this is also someone who would generally be the only person who could take a distribution from the account. So when you set this account up for this person, it's just for that person only, okay? Now, ABLE accounts are very similar to the function of a 529 plan. And if you are unsure about how 529 plans function, you could tune into my last show because this was a topic that I covered. But the main purpose of the ABLE account is to shelter assets from the means of testing required by government benefits programs. And individuals can contribute to this to these ABLE accounts, but they are subject to limits. So right now for 2018, the limit is $15,000 for the year. Okay. Now, there are some other changes that took place with the ABLE account because the 2017 tax reform actually added a provision which allows working individuals who are beneficiaries of the ABLE accounts to contribute limited amount on account, but that is beginning for 2018. So if you know of anyone that had an account prior to 2018, look and see if this rule may apply to you, where a person that's working can contribute their own money into the account. Okay, so I'm going to take another break for one song, and then I'll come back, and we're going to talk about the taxation of legal settlements or awards.
Arsha, baby.
I just want to get your attention.
Thank you, thank you.
I really want to be all up in your head.
Yeah.
Cause what I got, you gon' wanna get done. Yeah. But girl, that's only if you ain't scared. And I won't knock, won't win no bet. You just move that bottom up in your head. I'll get you hot. I know you won't so well. You already know what it is.
Yeah.
And girl, tonight we're gonna do a lot of sex times. Yeah, can't nobody do your body like this. Oh, I won't knock, won't ring no bells.
Yeah,
you just broke that bottom up in the air. Said I'll get you high.
Before I get started on the third topic, I do want to tell you guys about the upcoming shows that we do have here on Pregame Radio. So Thursday night at 9, we have the Real List Radio Show. I want you guys to tune in to that. Then on Fridays at 10 p.m., we have Pregame Radio with Brooklyn Black and Hoffa. On Sundays at 1 p.m., we have Love, Peace, and Slander. And on... actually, for tomorrow night at 9 p.m., we have Black NRP podcast with Danny. It's the premiere of that one. And on October 3rd, we have also a new one coming up. It's called Dopeness Only. It's a podcast with Mark J. Kelly and Mimi Meow, and that one starts at 7 p.m. So I want you guys to tune in to all of those for us. And actually, I forgot to mention that for Sunday at 1 p.m. with Love, Peace, and Slander, we have Lady Steele and Mr. Earl Grey. They're the hosts of that show. So I'm going to get into the last topic for tonight, which is on taxation of legal settlements and or awards. So basically, you know, the tax treatment of awards that are received, they could result in something that is being taxable or not taxable, depending on a number of issues. And these issues can be based on several factors: the name of the legal action, the type of award, and whether a settlement occurred before the trial. But generally, all monetary awards as a result of legal action are fully taxable, with one exception. And under this exception, basically the tax code allows for an exclusion of gross income for damages if it's received due to personal physical injury or physical sickness. So here are some commonly encountered situations and their taxability. So first, we have, you know, lawsuits based on age discrimination. And now, tax law does not consider back pay or liquidated damages received under the Age Discrimination Employment Act to be compensation for personal injuries. Therefore, these payments are fully taxable. Next one is emotional distress. Emotional distress is not considered a physical injury or physical sickness, and is therefore taxable. However, if an amount of an award or a settlement is paid for care related to emotional distress, then that may be excludable. So that's the key part there. If there's a portion of that that is paid for medical care related to emotional distress, all right? Now, the next one is employment discrimination. No exclusion is allowed for damages received in a suit involving employment discrimination or an injury to reputation that is accompanied by a claim of emotional distress. All right, so that means it's taxable. When it comes to interest that may be included in an award, even one for personal injury or sickness, is includable. I thought I said the word wrong. It is not excludable and must be included in gross income. All right, our next item is previously deducted medical expenses. Now, generally, when a settlement or an award includes some type of reimbursement for medical expenses, such as an award for physical injury or physical sickness or even emotional distress, that a portion of the award is excludable. However, any portion of those expenses that were previously allowed as a medical deduction would be taxable. Punitive damages, all right? Punitive damages are made as a punishment for unlawful conduct and are always taxable. They cannot be excluded from income like damages received due to personal physical injury or physical sickness, except as noted below for wrongful death, all right? Now, I'm going to talk about the wrongful death. Now, wrongful death is considered a physical injury or a physical sickness for purposes of the income tax exclusion. In addition, punitive damages are excludable where state law provides that only punitive damages can be awarded in a wrongful death suit. All right, so those two sometimes go hand in hand. All right, and then the last one is for unpaid or disputed employment earnings. So when it comes to back pay, severance pay, overtime pay, or things of that sort, all of them are treated as a W-2 type of income, and they are taxable. And on top of that, they're also subject to payroll withholding tax, which is FICA, that's Social Security and Medicare. So I hope you guys enjoy all of these topics that I've talked about this evening and all the tips that I had given to you. And I hope that you tune in again next week to listen to more tips, and also tune in to the prior shows to get more information and check out all the other shows that we have coming up on Pregame Radio, all the shows that I mentioned to you guys. Okay? So I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.
Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. Be a millionaire. Be a millionaire. Be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. Be a millionaire.
Like microphone is cameras up, cameras flash. I'm tipsy, trying to laugh. I wanna change her name to Mrs. Knight. There's nothing left to say. She rocking that thing like. She rocking that thing like. Out the door, he in the car, he on the mojo, I'm under her bar. She said, take it, if you want it. We made love to the first light of morning. But we did it, done it, get it, got it. Ooh, 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 baby, said, do it so my body don't move. Baby, ooh, baby, she rocking that thing like.
Like before, I put the town on the house we bought. Now I'm